This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Feeling good in here, drinking my green juice, green drink, whatever it is you call it. It's funny how nothing to get you healthy faster than getting sick.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
Man. What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like I'm just
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Hey, sleep. You've been shedding too much light, Lou. You're making them want to do right, Lou. They're getting self-esteem, Lou. These girls are trying to be queens, Lou. They're trying to graduate from school, Lou. They're starting to think that smart is cool, Lou. They're trying to get about the hood, Lou. I'll tell you what you should do.
And I'm brainless, which means I'm headless. Like Ichabod Crane is. Or foreplay less sexist, which makes me sainless.
With no neck left to hang a chain with, which means I'm neckless less like a neckless stuff. And I ain't used my headrest yet. God damn. Anyway, I'll be sleeping on Lupe sometime. I had to go back. I decided I was going to start doing music like that people know. Like, normally I try to introduce you to something or share music I don't think a lot of people get a chance to hear. But I just want to, like, let's do stuff we all know. Anyway, welcome to the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J-Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I have to thank you, first and foremost, for taking some time out of your day to come sit and chill with me and talk about whatever it is we're going to talk about, try to relate it to something in there. But you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate that. So thank you. I was sitting here trying to, like, figure out music for this week. I think I kind of, sort of, maybe got a topic, but music is always, like, the long pole in the tent. Like, I got to find something to start the episode with. And I was just going through, you know, tracks. I decided since last week, since I did that, like, that Puff Daddy song, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to continue down that vein of music from the past or, you know, that when I was really heavy into being a fan and then, like, you know, do some nostalgic type stuff. And, ran across that Lupe joint. And I wasn't going to use it until I caught a line I had never caught before, which was right there. It was just, like, so dope. I guess I didn't catch it because, I don't know, maybe I wasn't in that bag back then when the song came out. But the man says, I'm headless like Ichabod Crane is, or four playlist sexes. I'm headless like four playlist sexes. Like, God damn, Lupe. I wasn't. Damn, foreplay, less sex, no head, headless, crazy. I'm going to make a really weird transition right now from that because most of what I want to talk about is having Chef Elise. I have a Chef Elise update for this week. It's probably the majority of the episode because I haven't seen her in such a long time, and she's just such an amazingly dope kid. Like, I know all parents are supposed to think their children are special, and I do. Like, my little girl is just amazing. See, it was really cool. I was able to pick her up, you know, this week. I was able to kind of bounce back from the ER visit and dealing with the arm and all this craziness. But I got my little girl, and we had, like, a really, really fun weekend. And we didn't do any, like, Chef Elise stuff. We didn't cook or bake or anything like that. We just hung out, man. Like, we legit hung out on some daddy-daughter type stuff. Like, I think, in the first couple of hours that I had her, she told me so many times, you know, how much she missed me. And it's everything. Like, it just means the world. Because that's like, my biggest fear. Like, with all of this, I think one of the reasons I was pushing to kind of make sure I had to visit with her this weekend was I still, like, have this feeling, this fear that, you know, especially now that, you know, my ex-wife is remarried and she's got a stepdad, she's got a man in the house that, you know, she spends the majority of her time with, that sees her every day. It's like, you know, I always worry about being, you know, replaced or forgotten. you know, my mom was kind of trying to tell me when my ex-wife was pregnant and we found out it was a girl. You know, I think all guys secretly want a son. And my ex-wife and I had pretty much like, we just knew we was having a boy. We had a boy's name picked out and everything. Like the spirits had told us we was having a boy. And then we did one of those dumbass gender reveal parties, which I think are insanely stupid. Like, it's like, I don't know, like I almost feel like I was the only one there that didn't know. Like, it's like, you know, my wife knew, my ex-wife knew, like she wasn't going to tell me. And people have got to set it up. People have got to, you know, they got the cake or whatever, with whatever colors. People have got it. We did the whole open the box and the balloons come out type thing. So people blew up the balloons and they put them in the box so they know. This is like you inviting people over a party because you, I don't know, you want to tell them something you could have told them, but you got to tell them in a special way or something like that. But anyway, when we found out she was a girl, you know, no disappointment, just, you know, kind of like a redirection of energy, like redirection toward, you know, preparing for a boy. Now I'm, you know, preparing for a girl. My mom's, you know, sent me down. She was like, you know, little boys, you have to let go of, like, you know, they get old enough to a certain point, you know, they start their own families, they become men, they move on, and you kind of like have to let go of them. And she's like, you know, a girl is going to be your little girl forever. And I'm coming to find out, at least, you know, for the first 6 years, that's true. That, like, no matter what has happened, no matter what has taken me away from her, that whenever, you know, we link up again, whenever I see her again, whenever we get time to spend time together again, I'm dad. And that is, that's my proudest accomplishment to this day. But yeah, we got together this weekend and she just has a million stories. She has to tell me about everything. Luckily this weekend, no Andrew stories. I think Andrew finally has disappeared from the picture. Thank God for you, Andrew. Like, I don't know. I really was starting to believe that you caught a bad rap, Andrew, because you was not even in the picture anymore. Y'all don't go to the same school. Y'all don't hang out in the same circle. She moved to a whole different city. And still, for a couple months, you was public enemy number one. So maybe your exploits, you know, have been a little exaggerated. And you're not as bad a dude as you was made out to be. I should understand that, because I feel like sometimes my reputation, my infamy is undeserved. And the same probably happened to you, Andrew. So I apologize for all of that. But no Andrew stories. Just, you know, stories about kids she's met in school and, making friends and, you know, and schoolwork. And she's got to, like, run me down. It's a weird thing as a parent. And let me know, you know, if you have young kids or, you know, or remember your time with your younger kids, like how you handle these things. Like, she asked me if I know the answer to certain math questions. And maybe this is me overthinking it, but in my mind, it's like, all right, if I give her the answer, if I say I know the answer, because I do, because, you know, I'm an adult and, like, this is kindergarten math, that don't give her the opportunity to show off what she knows. But at the same time, kids already think they know more than you as it is. So if I'm like, nah, what is it? And she got to tell me, I'm just like reinforcing that the dad don't know shit. And you know more than dad already at six. So I'm always like stuck. But normally we end up in some situation where like I'll let her have, you know, the easy ones. And then she'll reach a point at some point during the weekend where she'll ask me a math problem that she doesn't know the answer to. And I get to walk her through like solving it. And so that's dope. That's dope. She just left earlier today and I was in the room putting things back together. And I noticed she gave herself a math test. I have all these drawing pads and stuff because she loves to draw. And I bought her like a ton of art supplies and stuff like that. And so, she'll be drawing pictures the whole time she's here. And sometimes while she's up here by herself, you know, when she wakes up in the morning before she comes down, to interrupt my piece, she'll just be up here drawing. And she like wrote herself a math test. Like she wrote math at the top of the page And then she just wrote out some problems and the answers. And then she went and graded it. Like, she put check marks behind all the ones she got right, which, of course, she got them all right because she wrote the questions, you know, the answers. But yeah, that just struck me as amazingly dope. Like, I love that little girl. I love her to death. What grinds my gears, what bothered me this week, and I didn't share this with my ex-wife, and I don't know if she ever listens to the podcast, but, you know, I mean, y'all know I don't talk greasy about her. I hold her in the highest esteem. That's the mother of my child. She takes great care of my little girl, and if I think my little girl is dope, I have to give her credit for a lot of that. But you knew the butt was coming. I came to pick her up, right, and I don't know. Like, they kids. She's six. She's in kindergarten. She's rough. Shoes was crazy. Shoes was just crazy. And then I guess, like, you know, she's a black girl with black girl hair, and it's a lot of it. And I know it's, and she don't like for you to touch it. Like, she has an issue with people, like, touching her hair. Like, that, like, she bloody murder. I think she's gotten better with it. Like, she don't do the bloody murder, but like, you know, you on a clock, like, she's tensing, like, she's like, I know you have to do this, and I'm trying to be a good girl, but I can't, you know it's happening. So I can imagine, like, fucking with her hair is a task. Like, it could probably be overwhelming. Like, you know, you got to do it, but the idea of what you got to put yourself through is so overwhelming that it's hard to just start. So I get that. But when I picked her up, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I was, you know, I don't know. My mom used to have this thing when we was growing up, like, you know, in terms of, like, making sure when we didn't want her to dress us and we didn't want her to take care of us and stuff like that, we didn't want her to do, she was like, I can't let you go out of the house looking like a throwaway child, you know? It's like, she didn't want us looking like throwaway children. Like the idea was the, and we was never dressed to the nines and, like, name brands. I ain't talking, you ain't got to, like, I was having a conversation with my friend, and he was talking about buying, you know, like, his 3-year-old twins, like, you know, Nikes and Adidas and stuff. And, man, that's cool. That's what you want to do. But I'm not saying that level. Like, I'm not buying her, you know, expensive shoes or expensive clothes because she's six and she's about to tear them up anyway. But I do always want her to look, like, neat and cared for. I don't want her to look throwed away. I just, it's in my mind, like, throwed away child. And all I can hear is my mother's voice when I seen her. My mom had all the Southern sayings. She'd be like, boy, your hair look like rats been sucking on it. Like that. And that's what I saw. I think, like, the back of her hair was out. Like, everything else was, like, up in, like, ponytails or buns or whatever. The back of her hair was out. And, the kitchen was just, it was a tragedy. And I get her to the house, and, it's on my mind. I'm thinking about it. Like, and then I get a text from my ex-wife saying, you know, she, you know, had to take, you know, the back of her hair out, and that I may need to do something with that. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't have experience with, like, black girl hair other than don't touch it and they don't swim and they gotta sleep with bonnets and satin pillows and all that kind of shit. But, like, actually doing it, no experience. I've washed my daughter's hair when she was younger, and I've dried it, and I've tried that. At one point, she would, like, let me put the products and stuff in her hair, moisturizers and the conditioners, the after, whatever it is, the shit that you do to, like, make it manageable. Because we've been trying to keep it natural. Or that was my idea when she was born. We'll see how much longer that goes. But other than that, like, I don't know what to do. And so she told me I needed a pink lotion and then, like, some ponytail holders or something like that. And the ones without metal connectors, something like that. So I'm like, all right, I got a pink lotion. So I'm hitting up my homie, as we posted. He got his twins for the weekend and I got my daughter. We was going to all go to the movies, which I'll talk about later. But I'm telling her, like, daughter's hair is crazy. I need to do something with it. I'm asking him if his girlfriend, and this is my white homie, my white friend. my good, that's my brother. My brother, love him to death. He, you know, he takes good care of me. And if ever I need something, I reach out to him. I know he's going to come through with it. And, you know, he's going to hit me up and make sure I'm okay. I ask if, you know, if there's anything he can do. That's my brother, love him to death. But he is white. And so I hit him up and just off chance, like, if, you know, if his girl knew anything about, like, black hair or whatever. And, you know, I think she was willing to give it a try, but I don't think she knew. Because I said something about the pink lotion, and he was like, man, you sure she means pink lotion? You know, she don't mean some sort of conditioner or something? And I had to Google it to figure out it is a conditioner. It's called, like, pink moisturizing lotion or something for your hair. And we both learned a black thing this weekend. I knew pink lotion didn't mean put lotion in her hair, but I couldn't tell you I knew exactly what pink lotion was. So here's the funny thing that happened with that. Is for whatever reason, and maybe one of y'all can clue me in to what it is that I do to create this. Because I'm all about, like, assessing my part in things and keeping my side of the street clean to, you know, to keep me from being in situations where I feel resentful or angry toward a person. Let me figure out what it is I am doing that's provoking them to act that way. Or if I'm just, you know, buffoonishly putting myself in a bad situation around a person I shouldn't be around consistently. But there seems to be this pattern in my life where people enjoy or seek out, like, antagonizing me. Like, people like to oppose me for some reason. Like I feel like I'm a target. Like, people like to just fuck with me. And I be trying to tell people, don't fuck with me. Like, I'm the nicest person in the world. I don't want to get out of character with you. I don't want to be a different person with you. I want to be a nice person. I want to love you. I want to care for you. I want us to be friends. I want you to know that if you ever need anything, you can reach out to me. All I'm asking you to do, and I will tell you all the buttons to push. I will tell you all the places to leave me alone. You know, it's just, don't fuck with me. And so, you know, I'm a huge football fan. Huge football fan. You know, fantasy football is a big thing for me. I've started leagues. A lot of my friends have participated in the leagues, and we'll play together. And huge thing for me. I think if you know me, if you're around me for any given period of time, especially close to football season, you'll understand, you know, what it is for me. You'll understand if you want me to be somewhere, it better not be around noon on Sunday, because I ain't coming, unless the game gonna be on. That's a known thing for me. And I'm from the DMV, like, I'm from Chocolate City, I'm from the area. I'm a Redskin fan. I'm sorry, Washington Football Team fan by force, not by choice. It's a rough life. I didn't choose this life; it chose me. But that's what it is. I'm in it for life, like a gang or whatever. I'm in it. Ain't no getting out. Ain't no abandoning the ship. This is what I do. That's my squad. I fucks with them for life. So, like, it's very easy to stay. If you were a fan of another team, I don't really care. We can do the fun, you know, back and forth bantering. Chad is a Cowboy fan. He's from Texas. I respect that. I respect people who rock with the team from where they from. When you rock with a team and you ain't never been to the city, I feel a certain kind of way about you. You know, I got homies like that too, though. You know, and I think they've been to the city. If you ain't never been to the city, that's a real problem. If you ain't from the city, you ain't never lived there, nothing like that, I don't know. You can have it. Maybe you grew up and now your favorite player was, you know, out of state or whatever, so you had to live that way. You know, I don't know. I forgive you. But you can be who you, like, root for your team. But you know me and mine. You know what that is. Like, don't violate in that space. And so I'm sitting here, and this was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I get a picture from my ex-wife. And this is my little girl in a Giants uniform. And this thing, I think this was the night that the Redskins and the Giants played. And we won. Last minute field goal. It wasn't a pretty win, but we won. But yeah, my ex-wife sends me a picture and she's like, you know, Elise says she's a Giants fan. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm probably blacked out after that. I don't know what the rest of the message was. I knew I had to go to my program and I had to be like, slow to anger, you know, slow to speak, you know, don't. Does it need to be said? Is it important? And so I let it go. I let it go because fuck it. It's a little girl in a football jersey. Like it's not the end of the world. But I know that the person that put her in that jersey, that gave her that jersey, knows me. They know what I'm about. They know what's important to me. They know what means something to me. I know my ex-wife knows what I'm about. They know what's important to me. They know what means something to me. So even if, and she from the area too. She from the DMV. So I'm like, you let this happen on your watch? Like, why are you sending this to me? Are you sending this to me to anger me? Because I think you know that it will. Whether it should or it shouldn't, I think you know that it will. And there's nothing I can do about it. That's like the most fucked up part about a lot of these things. With like my daughter and being a part-time dad, is that when these situations happen, like, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, I can't run over there and be like, and rip the jersey off. Not that I would do that anyway, but you know that I can't. I just got to eat that. I just got to sit there with the image of my daughter in a Giants jersey before I've ever had a chance to ingrain the football morals that I want to impart upon my daughter, you know. So I feel like it's purposeful. Like, why would you do that? And if you was going to do it, just don't show me. Like, there's no way I would have to know. And then, like, a week later, I get a text because the jersey that she was wearing was a Victor Cruz jersey. I think the friend that gave it to her is Puerto Rican, and you know, it's a whole whatever. And a week later, I get a text that now my daughter has changed her middle name to Cruz. Her middle name is, I shouldn't do that. Anyway, her middle name begins with a C. And then apparently she changed it to Cruz because she's a Victor Cruz fan and she never wants to take the jersey off. I'm just like, jab, jab, jab. Like, why are you doing this to me? You know, I can't do anything about it. So I'm these body blows that I got to take, I'm getting irritated. So I say all this to say that daughter's hair is all fucked up and she's a Giants fan. So I went, I'm like, all right, this can't stand. And I've decided the same way I talk on Facebook, not Facebook, but Twitter and all that, is like, you don't put your energy into the behavior that you don't like. You put your energy into the behavior that you like. You put your energy into what you want to see. I'm like, I'm not going to address with my daughter or with anyone for that fact. I'm doing it with y'all because we family. But this whole my daughter Giants thing, I'm not even going to address that. I am just going to expose her to what I want, you know, her to see and show her how happy it makes me, that when we're on the same team. So I go NFL shop, I get her a little Chase Young shirt. I get her a hat with the little pigtail things that they come down. I get myself a jersey so that, you know, next time I see her, we can rock out. So she gets there. She gets here and, you know, I present her with the stuff. I also made her a Chef Elise shirt. I went the same way I do the merch for the store. I made her a little logo and I put it on the shirt and I had that. I ordered that, had that sent over. So I had all that stuff laid out. And she gravitated straight to, you know, the Washington football team gear. So I was excited about. So come time for us to leave to go to the movie, you know, that's what she wants to wear. Now this is again like dads making sacrifices. I'm in Texas. And now I'm about to go to a mall with a big ass Redskin jersey on, Washington football team jersey on. My daughter's gonna be Washington football team out. And we're going to stand out. We're going to get, you know, attention and eyes. And hopefully it doesn't become a problem. But the cool thing was, is she wanted to wear the hat. It was like 85 degrees outside. She wanted to wear this hat. And I wasn't going to say nothing to her about it. I'm like, win-win. She wears the hat. The hair is covered. If she ain't hot, if she ain't complaining, I ain't complaining. We about to rock this hat. And that's exactly what we did. But yeah, so that was the good part of the day. The bad part of the day is we get to the movie theater. It's, you know, it's three parents and three kids, a six-year-old and 2 3-year-olds. And this, I think the two 3-year-olds, the twins, this was maybe their first movie theater experience. We was all bracing for like how they were going to be able to handle that. So we get in there, we try to time it so that we're not early at all. Like we get there right a little bit after what we think what the showtime is, so that hopefully, you know, the projector's already rolling, you know, we already, you know, watching the little pre-show stuff, and we getting ready to go right into the movie so we can limit the amount of time we trying to keep kids still. That's the plan. Hold on, green juice break. And we do that. We execute the plan flawlessly, but we get in there and the projector's not rolling. So, all right, we sitting there, we going through popcorn. I think we done ran through the popcorn. We done ran through the, you know, some of the candy. Sodas is running low. Still, the projector's not on. You know, it's just going 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Finally, the manager or whatever comes down and says, the projector's broken. We're not getting the movie. And he's offering passes or whatever like that. So my homie Chad, and he's a big dude, man. He's a big dude, but he's white. He's everything I wish I could be. I don't think he understands like some of that. Like I wish I could be as like brash and like just what the fuck kind of, you know, sometimes. There's a little bit of white privilege in there. Cause I can't, because if I break bad in public, some of the times in the ways that he does, it could go left real fast. And I can't afford to, you know, to risk whether or not it is or isn't. Maybe it won't, but by the time we figure out whether it will or won't, you know, could be too late. So I can't do that. Chad can though. And he's like, so who's going, you know, you going to refund me for this $70 worth of, you know, shit, popcorn and shit that I bought? And, you know, and the manager, of course, like, yeah, we'll talk about it. Like, you know, he got that, like, cause somebody to pipe down type stature. Like, the way he coming at you and his size, like, you got to immediately decide whether or not you want this problem or not. Like, there's no, if the next words that come out of your mouth are not calming the situation down, then you have already decided that you want this, like, that you go mode it, because it ain't, that's the way he is. He makes you make that decision in a split second. And I wish I could do that, but I can't. So anyway, I got like 6 passes for movie tickets. Maybe we'll try again in the next 2 weeks to see Ron's Gone Wrong. Fandango keeps asking me to leave a review. I didn't see the fucking movie, Fandango. The projector's out. I guess y'all don't know. But again, I go back to 2021. We have the technology. These communications should happen. Because anyway, we leave there and we go. There's an inflatable Wonderland or whatever in the mall. And the draw to inflatable Wonderland is that, one, parents are free. You don't pay for adults. You pay for the kids. And it's real cheap for the kids. You go in, you get all wristband up, so everybody, you know, we know who's attached to who. Parents cannot jump on any other inflatable things. So you got your built-in excuse that you about to sit your ass down. You can go do whatever it is you want. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't go with you. I can't jump with you because it's against the rules. But have all the fun you want. And everybody's wristband up and they got, you know, gates and stuff so that you can sit there and feel relatively safe that your child can run around and do whatever it is they want. And you just, whenever they tucker themselves out, you collect them and leave. And then nobody else can leave with your child. That's the whole purpose of the wristband system. So we in there for a good little bit, almost long enough to make it to like the next showing of the movie. But I think that was too much for all the kids. Like, you know, at that point, they was ready to go home. They didn't want to they weren't going to sit still, you know, movie theater. It was getting to be like, you know, bath and bedtime type situation. So we had a ball. They played, my daughter and one of the twins played air hockey. It's the cutest thing ever, you know, in her Washington football team hat and gear with the pigtails and everything. I got pictures. It was super dope. And all that went down, and it's time to go. So we gather everybody up. Everybody's the meltdowns are coming, so we know it's time to go. It wasn't too much of a chore to get everybody together, but we gathered everybody up, and we're leaving the place. And again, like when I'm with my daughter, like it feels like sensory overload. Like if I'm in public with my daughter, it's sensory overload because I got to make sure I keep my eye on her. And I got to keep my eye on the surroundings. What are people doing around us? You know, making sure she's not running into anybody and making sure nothing is coming her way that she doesn't see coming because she's in her own little world. And it's just like, I feel like my head is on a swivel the whole time because if I take my eyes off her to look forward to see what's going to happen, when I drop my eyes back down, she's going to be someplace else. And then I got to find her and then reorient. Like, this is a constant thing. So I'm not really paying attention to what's going on ahead of me, which sounds completely opposite to what I just said. But I'm getting her together and we're walking toward the exit. When I get to the exit, I can kind of see like Chad is having a conversation with the management and whatever there. And then, you know, I get Elise and we walk out and we, you know, we're out in the mall just waiting for them. And then I hear him say, "Well, I ain't coming back here ever again." And he dips. And I can see on his face, something ain't right. And basically what he was complaining about was, like I said, the whole point of the whole draw to Inflatable Wonderland is that you as a parent could take your kids someplace. They have a million things to do. Let them run free. You can sit down, let them tire themselves out. And without fear of losing your child, like, you know, the most you're afraid of is, I don't know, overly aggressive other kids and stuff like that. You know, you just wait for your kid to come running back to you crying, but you don't think they're not going to get lost. Like, nobody can take them because that's not, security's built in. And apparently, it did happen when I was leaving, like, nobody is checking the wristbands. Like, they just letting people walk out. Like, there were kids right behind me that were just being kids and just going, when the door opened, just wanted to go for the door. And they could have easily just gone with me. Not me trying to take them, but they could have just gone with me because nobody was paying attention to what they were doing. And nobody checked the wristbands, no nothing. And Chad was having it out with his manager, like two managers in one day, like really my hero. But, but on the ride home, we were talking about it, and it was just, he said he was talking to the manager, and he was telling them, you know, what I just said, like, the whole point in coming here is, you know, to feel safe, you know, letting my kid play without having to follow him, you know, all over the place. You know, like, this defeats the whole point. Like, nobody even checked. I asked her if she was going to check, and she waved me off. Like, I think he was walking out, and nobody was checking. And he asked the lady, "Hey, you want to check my wristband?" And she was like, "No, go ahead." And he said something else about it. And then she stopped responding to him. Like, she just shut down. And I think that's when he went and got the manager. And it's like, you know, I asked for them to look at the wristband. Like, it's the whole fucking point, you know. And the manager said to him that, "I'm sorry, sir. You know, we're understaffed," or whatever, something like that. And he was like, "Do you think that's an acceptable excuse? Like, do you think if one of my boys had gone missing and I came up here and you guys had not checked, you know, wristbands or anything like that, and my child was missing, and you said to me, we're understaffed, I'd have been like, oh, okay. All right, yeah, I can understand that. You're understaffed. Yeah, you might lose a kid. You know, it can happen. And when we were talking about it, all of this, what dawned on me is like, when all of this shit happens and we see these things, you know, happening with, you know, law enforcement and stuff like that, I feel like those are the, we get excuses like that. Like, you know, understaffed or, you know, just the, police been following procedures, or procedures being unclear, or all kinds of just weird, like, excuses for why something happened, or reason is that why something happened. There may float in any other situation, but it's like Chris Rock said, there are some jobs where you just can't have a bad day. You can't have a few bad eggs. You can't have, you can't. If you're a surgeon and you lose a patient because of something that was preventable, and you be like, man, you know, I just was off my game today. That's not, nobody wants to hear that. You know, a pilot that crashes a plane can't just, you know, you can't just, we understand, you know. But these are the kind of, you know, excuses we're fed, and we're supposed to just eat them. We're supposed to just accept it. I don't know. I don't know. More of the story is, you know, there's certain situations that, you know, require a level of accountability that there are no excuses for loss of life. Ever. And no excuses. If my little girl would have been missing, there's no way, you can't tell me we're understaffed. And I'd have been like, oh, okay, all right. Well, you did the best you could, you know. You did the best you could. Nah, that's not how it works. Not how it works at all. But yeah, Chad's my hero. He's my complaint guy. Like, he might be my anger translator. I think he's going to be like my Luther. Because he gets shit done. Like, if, you know, I go places and I get screwed over and stuff, or, you know, they leave out my fries or something, I just be like, ah, damn it, darn it. You know, luck of the draw. Like, nah, from now on, I'm calling Chad. Like, hey, bro, like, they charged me for two pairs of socks. I only bought one. He'd be like, hey, let's go. You know? And he probably going to get me a free sweater or something. Like, that's how Chad rolls. And I'm trying to learn how to do that as a black man and stay alive. But that's all I got. If you made it this far, you're a dope-ass individual. And I appreciate you. Understaffed or not. Let's do the calls to action. If you are looking to get your life together in terms of fitness and nutrition, I'm drinking my green drink. Don't let yourself get sick and in like fucked up situations like I was in before you decide to be healthy. You can do it now. But you can hit up Live Alpha Fitness, LIV, no E, alphafitness.com. It's my boy Zaya Fitness that was on Instagram that I've been promoting for, you know, ever. But good dude, great dude. He can get you where you need to be. So hit him up, livealphafitness.com. All right. If you're looking for ways to be impactful in the world at large and to change things, to be your brother's keeper, maybe make sure kids don't get abducted in inflatable water wonderland. I apologize. Nah, I don't apologize. Fuck it. But yeah, if you're looking to do those kinds of things, hit up ttcharities.org. They always got something going. Donate what you can. Time, money, books, clothes, a like, a retweet, a repost. It all goes a long way. So definitely ttcharities.org. Hit them up. I got my merch, whatistws.com/store. It is hoodie season. So coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, will get you 20% off all outerwear, long sleeve t-shirts, hoodies, hats, all that good stuff. I think I even put the mugs and everything like that in that category. So anything cold weather related or, you know, cuffing season related is all in there. You can get yourself some throw blankets or whatever so you can Netflix and chill on the couch. It's all available for purchase. And at 20% off with coupon code hoodie season, help me send Chef Elise to Disney World one of these days. But with that said, I appreciate y'all hanging out with me. Until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, this is the last hurrah. It's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.